When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome to a new episode of The Simpsons Did It. I'm your host, Steven Skolansky.
And I'm your co-host, Robert Skolansky.
And this week, how about we do our taxes? I haven't done my taxes yet. Have you done your taxes yet?
I think I have enough. I think I have all my paperwork to do my taxes, so I might do that on Friday.
I've been meaning to do my taxes because I think this year will be the first year in a very long time I actually might walk away with a little bit of change in my pocket, which would be nice because I got a vacation coming up, got New York City Comic Con coming up. But no, I'm not. I'm definitely not a Ned Flanders. I don't wake up at midnight on January. How does he like
you don't have everything?
Like you mentioned, paperwork. You don't unless if you own your own business, do you already have it? Like. If you own your own business.
I have no idea, but I do know I usually get all my paperwork by like mid-February.
Yeah. The only thing I think I'm still missing might be my tax document for my mortgage.
Oh.
That might be the only one, and I probably could get it on the app, but yeah. See if I can find it. But yeah, I mean.
You know what would help us? You know what would help us with our taxes, though?
What's that?
A $1 trillion bill.
Well, wouldn't that make us have to pay a lot of taxes every year if we were trillionaires?
Well, it would be a one-time payment.
Oh.
Like, if we got $1 trillion once, we would have to pay the tax on that, there's penalties. We'd probably end up with, like, half of it, maybe 30%, which, still, I'm not going to sneeze at $300 billion.
Yeah.
Because when you win the lottery... if you take a lump sum, you usually you pay like federal and state that you live in, unless you get it in a state that doesn't tax the lottery, which I think there's like five or six of them. But you usually have to pay a penalty tax because of all that money.
Yeah.
But if you take the annuity, I think you don't run the risk of that penalty tax because I don't think you go over that threshold. I don't know what the threshold is. But also, I think I prefer the annuity right now, being 37.
Yeah, that would be bad. Just collect every year, yeah.
Yeah. I think they usually say if you win a big enough lottery, if you're below 40, like 45 or 40, take the annuity because you're probably going to live 30 years. Unless, of course, there's family health issues. But if you're over 45, you take the lump sum.
Gotcha.
So, but... We don't have $1 trillion. We can try to print $1 trillion bill, but I don't think that's going to work. So this week is season 9, episode 20, The Trouble with Trillions, which is a Star Trek reference for the episode The Trouble with Tribbles. If I remember that episode correctly, that's the first instance of Tribbles. They're like these little puffball creatures that just multiply super rapidly.
Yes. Yeah, they're like rabbits.
Yes.
And they take over your ship.
Fortunately for us, this is not April Fool's. This aired on April 5th, 1998. Yep. Our recap is not great. Homer helps entrap Mr. Burns and learns of the existence of a mysterious $1 trillion bill.
Well, he does entrap. Well, I don't think he knowingly. Well, I think he does.
No, the reason I say it's a bad recap is it's literally like the last like third of the episode.
No, I think it's two-thirds. Two-thirds of the episode is about Burns and the $1 trillion bill.
Maybe we'll go half. I still don't like it.
I don't know. The first half really. I don't care. Like, okay, but yeah, I'm not saying this. Lightly, but I don't care that the first half exists. The fact that the episode is really about the $1 trillion bill and Mr. Burns makes this recap more important. You don't need to recap anything about the first half of the episode. There's no reason.
That's true. I mean, yeah, you could cut out like, well, no, you kind of need the first, you need part of the first half to understand why Homer is doing what he's doing.
Yes.
Our chalkboard gag this week, I will not demand what I'm worth. No, you should always demand what you're worth, especially in a job. and it was not quite a full intro this week.
No, it
we don't see Bart leaving the school, and we don't see him skateboarding down the street. We also don't see Maggie and Marge driving, but everything else is there.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd intro. It's like they literally just cut it to make time work.
Yeah.
Like, to have enough of this episode, like, work.
Yeah.
They just cut the intro.
I mean, they could have cut some of the beginning out, I think.
Yeah, it's weird. It just felt like they were cutting for time, which, fine. It's better than needing extra time if you do like one of those short intros.
Yeah.
And not enough time if you do the full one. So cutting it to make it work, probably the best option.
Yeah. Our couch gag this week is a repeat from Lisa the Skeptic. And the living room is a sauna where three old men are sitting on the couch. Simpsons come in to see him, back away, and then one of the old guys pours water on the sauna rocks to make the steam.
Yep. So before we get into the episode, I do have a fun fact about this episode. So the episode that was written by Ian Maxtone Graham, the original draft of the plot was actually extremely different from this episode.
Oh.
Originally, Homer was to learn that he was a Native American and would try to exploit to not have to pay taxes.
Ooh.
And so, apparently, the idea was going well for a few days, but the staff did not actually know whether Native Americans had to pay taxes.
And then when the writers ask?
Yeah, so yeah, I know. So when the writers found out that they did, the whole plot had to be scrapped.
I'm not 100%, like, okay, even if you go off the assumption that Native Americans, first of all, Native Americans should not have to pay taxes. If you're going off the fact that Native Americans do pay taxes, I don't know if I like the fact that they're like, oh yeah, Homer is actually part Native American. I know,
that's a weird one.
That is so weird, and like, if they had done it that way, based off Native Americans not having to pay taxes, depending on how they wrote it and how it was like scripted, it might, like, looking back on it in 2024, it might not have aged well.
No. But so executive producer Mike Scully's brother Brian actually pitched the idea of the $1 trillion bill, which they accepted as they were all out of ideas. So all right. So, this episode starts, Springfield is celebrating the new year. So, the funny thing about this is we've been talking about spring and summer and school years and all these things throughout this entire season.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like...
It's winter.
It's winter. Like, this is like this should have been the post-Christmas episode that we did. Like, this should have been the episode that immediately followed that episode.
Like, I'm looking back at, like, all the episodes we've done in season 9. I haven't seen a single... They're all like, oh, Miracle on Evergreen Terrace.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Well, it should have aired right after that episode.
Correct. But everything before and after that have been, like, spring, summer, fall type.
So not really a timeline. Like, they really just weren't doing a timeline.
Like, Bart Starr, you could argue, was, like, a fall
thing. Yeah, just football,
But, like, looking at everything else is just spring, summer, a flashback episode.
Yeah, but I think this episode would have just played better as episode coming into the new year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? That just seems. I don't know. Well,
it sounds like it sounds like this one was done so last minute that they needed extra time.
Yeah. So they have their own little ball that drops just like in New York on the courthouse, and the ball gets stuck at 8. Yeah. Like 10, 9, 8. Eight. And then Homer's like, oh, will this horrible year never end? And then Wiggo says, nah, we've never lost a year before. And damned if we lose one now. And he rips out his gun and starts shooting the ball, which causes it to crash into the town hall and explode.
Yeah.
And the, you know, citizens, I love it when the ball's dropping, they like quickly 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that by the way, even if the ball doesn't drop, you're still going into the new year.
Oh, the Simpsons are idiots. They don't know that.
True. No, well, Homer's an idiot.
Homer's an idiot. The whole town of Springfield's an idiot. They're all idiots. So the entire town starts to celebrate by singing Old Lang Zion and shooting off fireworks, like, you know, like New York or, you know, Washington, D.C. But I love how Krusty is completely drunk off his ass and, like, just, I don't know, singing some random words. And I'm like, he either doesn't know the words or he's that drunk.
I'm going to go with option A.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, it's just like, oh, I loved it. So the celebration wakes up Ned. I love how Ned does not celebrate the new year.
Yes.
Like, he clearly knows it's the new year.
Yes.
But
he doesn't want to celebrate.
I guess. Who doesn't want to celebrate the new year?
People who want to be in bed by 9 p.m.?
Yeah, apparently. So, but he wakes up, January 1st. Better get going on those taxes, Nettie. I love the fact that on New Year's Day, fucking, I shit you not, every year, someone in one of my Simpsons groups literally posts that. Every year. It's funny. So then we cut to Ned preparing for his taxes. He's like, let's see, cash registering. Well, that's a business expense, isn't it? But I do enjoy the smell of this stuff, don't I? I better not risk it. Oh my god. And Todd's like, Daddy, what do taxes pay for? Why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. Let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working. God bless them.
I don't think our taxes pay for sunshine.
You know, I was thinking about that. Yeah, I don't, unless we have a evil billionaire by the name of Montgomery Burns who wants to block out the sun, and paying his taxes would let us get the sun back. I don't think so.
I was gonna say trees, but I'm pretty sure like parks and stuff.
Yep. So our state taxes in Edina at least pay for the planting of a lot of trees every year. So definitely that. But yeah, them folks who don't want to work, our taxes definitely pay for those assholes.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do? And sorry if you don't work and you're getting unemployment. But
if you're unemployed and trying to get a job really hard, fine. If you're unemployed and not trying, get a job.
Yes. Maude tells Ned it's 8:45 and the post office will be opening soon. And Ned is surprised to hear that it's 8:45 because he's yapping away like it's 8:15.
8:35.
Oh, sorry. 8:35. Even worse. 10 minutes to go. I mean, you don't have to get your taxes. So you have until April 15th. But we'll see why. We'll see. Okay, this is also the 90s.
Correct.
And I don't think, I didn't do taxes, our parents did our taxes.
Correct.
But if I'm remembering correctly, in 1998, our parents, when they did their taxes, still mailed their taxes in. To my recollection, because they always put all the paperwork on the table in the dining room. And
I did mail my state taxes in one year because it was free.
Sure. And I think it was, I think mailing it, like when, even when TurboTax and H&R Block did their online stuff.
Yeah.
I think I actually mailed in a few years because it costed nothing to mail it in.
Correct.
Versus doing it online. And now online is way too easy and you might as well just do it online.
Yes.
So Ned finishes up with taxes, throws in some mints because that'll grease the wheels at the IRS.
Yeah.
And then runs to the post office and mails out his taxes. And then as Ned walks out of the post office, he runs into Dr. Hibbert. And Ned's like, getting your taxes out of the way. And he's like, no, just mailing out death certificates for holiday-related fatalities.
Oh, well, I mean, they just had New Year's Eve, so.
And Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deaths around that time of year.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ned walks off, and the scene transitions to April 15th. So maybe that makes sense. So we kind of griped at the beginning of the episode about not being a timely episode. Yeah. But now we're back in the timely area. We're April. Yes. That's when the episode aired. So I think it works. And they're trying to tell us, get your taxes done.
Correct.
And the whole town is at the post office because they're all trying to mail their taxes out. But, I mean, could you have just given it to your postman by noon or 1 o'clock, whatever the time they show up at your house? Or do you have
you're gonna trust your mailman to mail out your taxes?
I mean, they're the government. They should have our best interest at heart. We pay their salaries.
Yeah, doesn't mean it's not gonna make it to the post office.
Yeah. So
plus this is a small enough town that they'd probably just go to the post office anyways.
Yeah. So the citizens are upset, and Wiggum tells the crowd that the harder they push, the faster they'll get out of there.
No, that's not how that works.
But really, realistically, it's kind of like looking at it, it's like, well, if it's already in an envelope and you put your stamps on it, do you really need to wait in line? Can't you just put it in the little like outgoing mailbox?
Probably.
Like, unless you're paying for postage, there's really no reason to be in line.
No, I think it's just for comedic effect.
Okay. So Skinner runs into the post office and tries to cut in line by flirting with Edna. Because are they not together anymore?
I don't know.
They are.
Because Edna's like, well, until you...
Oh, right. If you file jointly, and Skinner's like, go back of the line.
But again, you have to be married to file jointly.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You just have, at least in the state of Minnesota, as long as you live together for X amount of time, you can file jointly. So like,
Wisconsin got rid of common law marriage.
Yeah. So one of my friends that I work with, him and his they live together. They've been living together for like 15 some years, but they keep their shit separate.
Yeah.
They still do finances and taxes and all that stuff, but
yeah,
they could still theoretically file jointly because basically they're together. Like, at that point, they're together.
I believe in most states for common law, it's 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. And so we see the sea captain looking at his taxes, and he's like dropping pearls and jewels and treasure into his... I don't think you're allowed to pay your taxes like that. Maybe. Maybe in 98 you could pay with jewels and gold coins and stuff. And he wonders why he bothers plundering at all.
Yeah, why do I have to give my plunder away?
Yeah.
So, and then we see Lenny using Frink's back to write some of his taxes, and Frink's like, excuse me, you didn't carry the one, you foolish person. Now you will incur the penalties with the compound interest and the wrath and the truncheons. Oh, the Jerry Lewis stick. By the way, a truncheon is a short, thick stick carried as a weapon by a police officer.
Ooh, fun fact.
So basically, Frink was telling Lenny he was going to get beat for not carrying the one.
I'm glad my computer does my taxes for me now.
Right? Jesus. So now we see Kent Brockman reporting from the post office, which we usually run a story on tax day. I don't think we really send somebody out. But I could see in like a small town they would send somebody out, but probably not Kent.
Yeah.
Maybe Kent's the only one that reports and anchors, except for Arnie Pie in the Sky.
Yeah, although I think he's dead. Anyone else that works for Channel 6 News.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your video camera operators and everything, but does Bumblebee? No. I don't think Bumblebee Man works. Well, he works for Channel 6. He just has his own show.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Brockman... He's like, it's literally the 11th hour, 10 p.m. Wouldn't the 11th hour be 11 p.m.?
I guess it's midnight in your time zone that it's two, right?
So when you say it's the 11th hour, you're basically saying this is it. This is the last, you know, final time, and then after it's this 11th hour is over. So it should be more like 11 or 11:30. Because the whole phrase the 11th hour is kind of like being like, okay, this is it. This is all the time you have left. Like, get done. And he's like, tardy taxpayers are trying to mail their returns by midnight. So it's not really the 11th hour. They have 2 hours left.
Yep.
That's plenty of time. And Kent asks Otto why he waited until the last minute to pay his taxes. And Otto's like, taxes? Isn't this the line for Metallica? God, Otto.
Oh, that's man.
Great. And
so did he do his taxes or not?
I
want to know.
Otto gets paid under the table. He doesn't do taxes.
Oh, okay.
And then Kent asks Krusty why he waited until the last minute. And Krusty's like, because I'm an idiot. Are you happy? And there is an animation error here. When Kent first asks Krusty, Krusty's tie is purple.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ugh. It is a purple tie.
I've used that line only once because I literally waited for like the last minute. I swear it was like, it was that year. Was it COVID year that we were able to wait?
Yeah.
I think it was that year that it was like, it got pushed 2 months to like June or something. Right.
Yeah.
I waited almost. Cause I'm like, if I owe I was more afraid that I was going to owe a little bit. I'm like, well, if I'm not working, COVID, maybe I'll just wait as long as I can before I have to pay.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I filed in March that year, or February. Yeah. So Ken says, not everyone is an idiot. He's like, some of us took our receipts and pay stubs to our accountants months ago. And Ken's like, at the risk of sounding a little smug, and then is interrupted by a man. He's like, does anybody have a calculator? And Ken's like, Myron? It's like, and then Myron runs off. Yeah, so Myron is Kent's accountant.
Oh, so that's great.
Kent still got screwed. Yeah, most accountants will not wait until the last minute. Wait until the last minute.
So I'm guessing in news reporting and everything, all your reporters would have, like, do they get, like, do expenses, like, on, like, have to turn
I
in,
had,
like...
So if they do, I think if they do anything... See, I don't know how that works, because, like, yeah, they have a gas card, basically, like a credit card
company,
for gas.
Okay.
A company gas card, but, like, they do get reimbursed here and there for some stuff, so if that's the case, I think there's a threshold before it gets taxed.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure, I don't ever expense anything. So the Simpsons are watching on the news. And they're like, and Homer's like, everyone at the post office is a moron. I paid my taxes over a year ago. And Lisa's like, Dad. Homer's like, what? Did you see a scary picture in your book? Lisa's like, you paid last year's taxes. You have to pay again. So Homer just thought taxes was but Homer's an adult. Like, he pays his taxes every year.
He's like, but the 1 year, and then... I paid the year before.
Oh, God. And Marge tells Homer she put the tax forms on top of his to-do pile a month ago. And Homer's like, I have a to-do pile? And he looks to his right, and there's this to-do. He's like, and I love the fact there's a Duff sitting on it.
Oh, that's so great.
And so Homer starts filling out his tax forms. And, So Homer fills out his tax forms, and he's like, Marge, how many kids do we have? Oh, no time to count. I'll just estimate. 9. Marge's like, Homer, you know we don't have... Shut up! If I don't hear you, it's not illegal. Okay, I need some deductions. Ooh, business gifts. And Homer takes the sailboat painting from above the couch and hands it to Marge. Here you go. Keep using nuclear power. Marge's like, Homer, I painted that for you. Okay, Marge, if anyone asks... You require 24-hour nursing care. Lisa's a clergyman. Maggie is 7 people. And Bart was moving in Vietnam. Bart, cool. So I kind of use a variation of the if I don't hear you, it's not illegal. My friends and I used to joke, if I can't see you, you're not there.
Yeah.
God, that's okay. Great.
So did we learn this episode then that Marge painted that?
Yes. I believe this is the episode we learned that.
Okay. Because I swear to God, in the future, they got it as a gift. I think I'm talking like a future episode. They do something on that painting.
Oh, well, I guess we'll put a pin in it.
Let's put a pin in it because I swear to God, they got that as a gift or something.
Well, I know there was an episode where the sailboat was like, they found out like it was like worth a lot of money and then it was like repainted.
Yeah, that episode. So let's keep an eye out for that because I swear to God, I don't think Marge, unless it was like a repaint that Marge did or something, but.
What, like, did she go to one of those wine and paint classes?
Something, I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird.
And so then Homer stuffs a bunch of paper into an envelope and he just, like, wraps tape around it and rushes out of the house.
Yep. And then Marge hangs up the sailboat painting and tells herself, I really had a lot of talent. But we already knew that. Yes. It was the Ringo Starr episode.
Correct.
Like, we already knew she had a lot of talent.
Correct.
So the clock at the post office turns midnight. And, you know, people are starting to leave. And Homer is driving like a maniac.
Correct.
And he stops at a red light like he should.
Yeah.
But he covers his eyes and says, if I don't see it, it's not illegal. And drives through the red light.
And he causes a major accident.
Yeah. If only that worked.
Yeah.
Well, then again, this day and age with all these people driving through red light. Like, I see tons of people running red lights left and right. Maybe they're using Homer's technique. If I don't see it, it's not illegal.
I love that there's a Dave Chappelle stand-up routine he used to do where he talked about like getting pulled over. I think he was just driving really fast. And he jokes about telling the officer, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't know I could do that. It's great.
So then we see Hans Moleman. Has a new job at this new job. Wasn't he? It was a prison guard last episode, yes. Right?
Well, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago, he was a prison guard. Well, Homer did
escape.
Well,
no, he was a prison librarian.
Sorry. So he let Homer escape, so obviously he got fired, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now he got a new job at the post office. Boy, he loves his government jobs, doesn't he?
Dude, government jobs pay well.
Yeah. He's bringing out the sign to close up. He, you know, does the little lock thing to close the gates. And we see Homer has stopped for a hot dog instead of going to the post office. Because I think we were only on bell chime like 6 or 7 by the time he got his hot dog. And then we see Homer drives crazily, pulls his car up the steps to the post office, and then throws his tax return through the closing gate. And, we see it bounce around a little bit like a basketball. Yeah. Like, oh, is it going to go in? Is it going to go in? Lands in the bin. And Homer yells, woohoo! And the gate slams Homer smooth on the head.
Down.
Yep. But he made it. Yeah. Everything seems to be going up Homer, right? Yeah. Everything's coming up Homer on this one. Until we get to the IRS mailroom. And a worker dumps the returns into a bin marked, quick refund. I like that bin.
Yes, it's a great
bin. I like that. That's a great bin. But Homer's tax, you know, bounces because it's oblong. It's not in a nice manila envelope. It bounces out. It lands into a bin labeled severe audit. That's not a good bin.
No, not a good bin.
But I love the joke, though, because I would say the majority of average jokes. Like average Joes just doing their taxes.
Yeah.
They get a quick return. I mean, it's I would say about 90% of like the average Joe taxpayer in the country probably just has quick return. That's it. So I kind of like the whole like, oh yeah, everyone just gets a quick, just like dumps it in quick return. Like not even looking through them, not even opening them to see how people pay their taxes. Like, yep, we're not even going to audit you. Just go.
Yep.
So now. You get Homer at Moe's. And Moe's like, so Lenny, Let's say you pull a thorn out of the Pope's butt, and he grants you one wish. What'll it be? Lance is like, only one, huh? Well, I've always wondered what it'd feel like to wear something that's been ironed. And Carl whistles like, that'd be sweet. So, apparently, Lenny, Carl, they don't own irons.
No.
Luckily, I'm married, so I have an iron in my house. Do you have an iron?
I think I have two.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Do you use them?
I use the one if I'm going out on a date, so like maybe like 3 times a year.
Oh, so do you always wonder if you wear something like it'd be ironed?
No, I don't have to wonder because I've worn a shirt.
Oh, okay, cool.
And pants.
Pants. So Carl asks Mo what his wish would be, and Mo says, "I was gonna say a night with Joey Heatherton, but an ironed shirt. Damn, that's tempting." And if you guys don't know, Heatherton was a dancer, actress, and singer, and considered a sex symbol in the 60s and 70s. And she's currently 79 years old.
Yep.
And still alive. Still alive. So that's good.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was a... she's 79 years old now?
Yes.
Like today?
Correct.
Okay. So when this episode aired, that's like another 20 years ago, so she was just turning 60, so I bet she was, It was nice of her to hear her name in a Simpson episode.
Probably.
So Lenny asks Homer the same question, and Homer is about to answer when a man in a suit with two other men walk into the bar, and the guy in the suit says, "I'm with the United States government." Oops, I don't think IRS hired goons to collect you, do they?
I don't know. I've never screwed up my taxes.
Well, if you guys have ever been audited, let us know if hired government goons come and collect you.
I think if you get audited, they send you a letter in the mail to correct it. I think the only time you ever get like arrested is if you're like evading paying your taxes.
Oh, okay. And so the two men with the suit drag Homer off as he yells for help. Then Mo goes back to the conversation and asks Barney what his one wish would be.
And we don't get to hear it.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
So now we cut to the IRS. We're in one of the IRS audit rooms. And we see Lucius Sweet saying that's an egregious miscarriagement of taxitude.
By the way, that was Paul Winfield doing the voice of Lucius Sweet.
Oh, cool. Yep. Gil starts shaking and saying, "This is bad. This is really bad." And Gil says, "He works and he slaves and he steals just enough for a sweet lick of shiny brass ring."
Oh my gosh.
Probably should be stealing, Gil.
Probably well, why he I can't mean, he's hold a terrible down. Worker, so he needs to.
Yeah. And so Gil grabs Homer and asks Homer if he gets a lick. Doesn't Gil get a lick? No, Gil. No, you don't.
No.
And so a man opens a little slot in the door and calls for Simpson. Homer J. And, you know, Homer gets scared. He's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And so the door opens and Homer walks through. And Gil asks Homer to put in a good word for him. I don't think Homer quite knows who Gil is yet.
No, I don't think so.
Because he wasn't at the shoe shopping store. He wasn't at Marge's Realty Place.
No.
Like Marge probably knows Gil way better because
correct,
she's ran into him a few times. But Homer probably doesn't know much about Gil yet. Homer is in the IRS interrogation room. In front of him, an IRS agent sits back. Behind a desk, behind an agent, I love it's a huge, like, supercomputer. Like, it's one of those, like, big-ass, like, you know, army-style supercomputers. And the IRS agent's like, "Mr. Simpson, this government computer can process over 9 tax returns per day."
Oh, God. You know, the sad thing is, I don't think that's really changed all that much. We really need to spend money and overhaul our, the IRS.
Yeah.
Horribly.
Although I feel like this day and age, you get your, I mean, if you do it through TurboTax, I mean, you get
it doesn't matter. The The other problem, too, is the IRS is so bogged down that they can't actually go after people who don't pay their taxes. So we'd actually, if we actually spent money on the IRS, we would make that money back really quick.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So did you really think you could fool it? Or was like, no, sir, I'm really sorry, sir. An older boy told me to do it. It's like, it's going back to like Simpson time. It's my first day.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
Like, it's kind of funny. And the IRS agent's like, you're looking at 5 years minimum. No, sir, please. I can't go to prison. They pee in a cup and throw it on you. I saw it in a movie.
Ew. It probably did happen in a movie. I don't know what movie.
Sure it did, but I wish we knew what movie reference that was for.
One of those prison movies.
Sure.
And so the agent tells Homer that Homer won't be seeing any prison movies where he's going. Prison. And Homer's like, no, I'll do anything. And then I love it. Another agent turns around in a chair, gets up, and the first agent sits down and turns back around.
Yep.
And the second agent introduces himself as Agent Johnson, FBI. And so the scene where Homer was pressed into FBI service was taken directly from the film JFK.
Yes.
And similarly, Agent Johnson, one of the FBI agents who placed Homer on the job, I know this is a little bit later in the episode, but it's kind of happening now, was named after one of the FBI agents from the film Die Hard.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so Homer is sobbing, and he's like, very happy to meet you. I don't think Homer is happy to meet him. And Agent Johnson says Homer is going to work for the FBI. And Homer asks if they could pay him under the table. I have a little bit of a tax problem. And he points to the IRS agent.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the FBI knows that, Homer. That's why they're there. And so now Homer is back home and he shows Marge and Bart that he is wearing a wire. So it's like this big ass like tape recorder. And Marge asks if they want Homer to spy on his friends. Homer's like, not spy, squeal. I also have no choice. Lisa's like, the government has no right to use Homer this way. And Homer's like, quiet, honey. You don't know how big this government is. It goes all the way to the president.
Yes, God, it does.
Thanks, Homer. You actually understand something in the worst, in the wrong way.
Yep.
And so Bart straps the wire in tight and calls Homer Rat Boy.
Yeah.
And Homer pulls his shirt down over the large microphone / speaker box he is wearing.
I love how you can just tell that it's there.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Like, they would have been better off with him using his giant 10-gallon cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah. He probably had that taken away by the government.
Yeah.
And so Homer's like, does this make me look fat? And he's like, no, it makes you look like a tool of government oppression. But not fat. It's just like sticking all the way out.
Oh,
I love the fact that nobody in the episode notices it either.
I know.
And so we see a surveillance van outside of Moe's. It's called Two Guys from Quantico Pizza. And Quantico is where the FBI is stationed.
Is that supposed to be like two guys in a pizza place? Is that like, was that a TV show?
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Yeah, that's what it is. Was that?
Like, I don't think that's not a reference to that. It is not. It is just the whole point is Quantico Pizza
because
Quantico is where the FBI is.
Yes, but does the FBI get involved with tax? I'm guessing they do get involved with like tax evasion,
probably.
Right?
Yeah, they probably do. There's probably a division for it. And Homer asks the agents what the signal is if his cover gets blown, and the agents look at Homer. They look at each other, and they're just like, we're just going to close the door now.
Yeah. Don't get caught. Like,
yeah, don't get caught. And so Homer goes into Moe's, and he comments that they're all watching the ball game. He's like, oh, looks like a good one. And he's like, have any of you guys been involved in any illegal activities? Because I sure could go for some. And the guys in the van are like, God, he's dumb.
Yep.
And Homer asks Lenny, and also tests the wire. And Lenny asks Homer if he wants to commit a crime. And Homer says, maybe, but first I need to hear about some other crimes to get me fired up. And so Carl says, oh, you mean like that time you were running moonshine out of your basement? And that is Helmer versus the 18th Amendment. And Barney's like, oh, or your telemarketing scam? And that was from Lisa's date with Density. And Homer gets a little nervous because, you know, they're naming his crimes. And he's like, yeah, like those, but one involving you guys. And Moe's like, oh, you mean like that time Barney beat up George Bush? And Homer's like, no, that was me. And I do it again. And that, of course, is a reference to Two Bad Neighbors.
Yep. That's great. I love that they just list all of Homer's crimes. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of continuity stuff that The Simpsons do well. This is one of them. And so a guy in the bar who is dressed like Homer asks Homer, why stop there? The guy says his militia has a secret plan to beat up all sorts of government officials. That'll teach them to drag their feet on high-definition TV. Oh, that's great. That's so fantastic. Oh, that's... Oh, I love it. Because high-definition TV took a while to, while to come out. And so the agents run in, arrest the guy for conspiracy. And Mo asks how they fingered Charlie. And says someone must have ratted him out. And Homer tells Mo that that's ridiculous. And transmission. Who's Charlie in the Simpsons universe?
He works at the power plant.
That's right. That wasn't him, was it?
Yeah.
Was it Charlie from the... Okay. It looked like it. I just couldn't remember. Okay. That was Charlie from the power plant. Okay.
Correct.
And so Homer goes to a park and he's met by Agent Johnson, and the agent tells Homer that his superiors were pleased with his work. And he says, well, I have a flair for treachery.
He sure does.
Yep. And Homer says, I'm glad all that's over. And the agent laughs and says, you're not done. Government has their claws in it. You're going to be there for a little bit. And the agent says that they have a high-risk assignment for him. And Homer asks, why do they keep picking on me? Marge's name is on that tax return, too. I mean, theoretically, Marge would be in trouble as well.
Yeah,
if they're filing jointly.
She would be in trouble.
How come Marge gets out of all the fun things?
Because she's a woman?
Can't say that. Women have just as much right to be exploited by the government as men do.
Because Homer's the one that filed it? I don't know.
So the agent tells Homer to take a walk, and Homer, he is exasperated at taking a walk, and Homer says, that wasn't part of the deal. And so they walk to the mall. And now Homer's completely out of breath. I mean, that's probably a long walk.
Well, we don't know what park they were in and how close they were to the mall.
No, but it seems like it's a long walk. And the agent stops and says that they're here. And tells Homer to get in the photo booth. And we notice Milhouse is inside that photo booth taking pictures with his shirt off. And I love how he tells the agent, oh, my shirt fell off.
Yeah, okay.
Sure it did, Milhouse. You're doing like the gun show in front of the camera. Yeah, Milhouse is funny.
Yes.
Funny guy. And so agent tells Homer to cover his ears while he says the secret access word. Cheese. Probably not a good access word for a photo.
Not at all.
Probably not. And so we see a screen drop down and says, good morning, Agent Johnson. And the voice explains that the film they are about to watch is top secret. It contains adult situations. I love it. That's a great, great tag. Because that 98 was, you know, V-Chip and starting to actually put TV ratings on the screen.
Yeah.
And, it starts out talking about how in Europe, people struggle to rebuild following the war. And Homer laughs and calls them losers. And President Truman says American dollars will help their allies who fought so poorly and surrendered so readily.
I think that's supposed to be a dig at the French.
Yes, the French. Yes, that's what I was going to say. Oh. And the film explains that for a one-time only deal, Truman commissioned the printing of the $1 trillion bill.
So I know a lot of people like to ask, well, why don't we just print more money? If you have more money in circulation, that devalues it, which means it's going to cost more to buy stuff. Now, obviously, in this instance, they're sending the money over to Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason we don't actually print more money in circulation is that will skyrocket inflation.
Well, unfortunately, during the pandemic, that shit happened.
They didn't print more money during the pandemic.
Well, they gave people money that we didn't have.
They didn't print it, though.
Well, they printed checks. I mean, it's not printing cash. I mean,
yes.
It's pretty much printing money. And what happened? Inflation happened. Target, well, grocery prices, everything went up.
Well, no. Inflation would have happened regardless, even with the shutdown and not giving out money, because people weren't shopping.
Sure. Well, tons of people are shopping during the pandemic because of the stimulus checks.
Yeah.
The film explains that the man chosen to deliver the bill was its wealthiest and therefore most trustworthy citizen. See Montgomery Burns. No, those do not go hand in hand. Wealthiest and most trustworthy are not the same person.
Now, I do like Homer's revelation to the $1 trillion bill. He's like, that's a spicy meatball.
Yeah. And so we see Burns fly off with the money, and the film explains that the money never arrived. Well, yeah, you gave Mr. Burns $1 trillion.
Yes.
But the funny thing is, it's not like he spent it.
Yeah, we'll find about... spoiler alert!
We told people in the beginning of the episode that this was coming.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he stole it. It's not, they could have just printed another one. And it was a kick in the knickers. And
knickers. Then did you just say knickers? It was a kick in the knickers. Do you say knife?
Those lousy knickets.
Okay, that's
right. That's where I was like, I swear to God, we were talking about the French, and then I read it, and I got the French taunter in my head.
Oh, jeez. Are you one of those morons who say knife? Or yes. Knee?
Knee? Yes. Sorry, that's exactly where my head went, was the French taunter from Monty Python. That's great. So one of the generals in the film asked, should we complain? And the third man says, they should just ask Snooty to the Americans forever.
That's a French guy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so, and then the voice, as all spy things will do, it's like, this film will self-destruct if not properly stored.
Yes.
Apparently they properly stored it back in the photo booth.
Because
we'll see why in a second.
Yeah.
So Agent Johnson explains to Homer why they need him, and he's like, we believe Burns still has that bill hidden somewhere in his house, but all we've ascertained from satellite photos is that it's not on the roof. What are you trying, like, infrared isn't going to help you?
Well, not only that, but I don't think did that technology exist in 98?
Infrared?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah. And so the agent thinks, as a trusted employee of Mr. Burns, Homer can lead them to the bill. Why would you think that? Go to Smithers.
Exactly.
And so Homer explains that Burns gave him the job and hasn't fired him after 3 meltdowns and 1 China syndrome. There's a problem with that line. He was literally fired in the last episode for putting a donut in the reactor core.
I know. But did he get his job back at the end? He never got his job back at the end of
the episode. We never saw him get his job back. Clearly, yes. He got his job back. So, and see, like, we talked about continuity with, like, the bar scene. This is where the continuity goes crap.
Yep. Crap. I'll tell you this. And if you guys out there have seen the latest Simpson episode, and I'm talking the one from February... what was Sunday? February 18th.
18th.
So go back and watch it. February 18th. Watch that episode. Because I bet you what happened to that episode is directly in correlation to how Homer got his job back at the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant. If you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go watch it.
All right. So Homer's like, I can't betray Mr. Burns. And Agent Johnson's like, well, you have no choice. And he tells Homer that the information is highly classified. So if he doesn't do it, he goes to jail.
Yep.
And so then we see Apu and Manjula go into the photo booth. And Apu's like, geez. And they activate the video. So again, I go back to the way to properly store it is back in the photo booth. Like, also, you don't need that video anymore. Just take it out.
Well, yeah. Once you watch it. I mean, the next, I don't know, when you call them like doing drops, the next person that does a drop would go to that photo booth, put in the new mission, I guess, when available, and then you would say cheese. But it's a photo booth. Everyone's saying cheese. Everyone's seen this.
Yes. So, Mr. Smithers, we see Mr. Smithers serve Burns his dinner, which is a wild raspberry compote, celery root remoulade, and pheasant under duck. And he's like, I hope you enjoy it. And Burns is like, stop fishing for compliments, Smithers. Go home to your can of mushroom soup.
Oh my god.
And so Smithers tries to tell Burns that a kind word now and then wouldn't be bad. And Burns interrupts and says, I'm choking down your food. Isn't that thanks enough?
God, Mr. Burns is an asshole. But if I was Smithers, look, if I was already in Mr. Burns' kitchen, he's in bed. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Just make whatever you want.
And so under his breath, Smithers is like, he's like, I don't know why I bother.
Yeah, I don't know why he bothers.
Yeah, I don't know either. And so Smithers drives home, and Homer sneaks into the gate before it closes. And he's like, he like goes to his shirt. He's like, I'm in. And we see the van flash its lights at him. And so Homer rings and so Homer rings the doorbell. And since Burns is the only one there, he answers the door. And he's like, no, what, Smithers? Wait, you aren't Smithers? And Homer's like, hi, I'm Homer Simpson. I'm a trusted employee.
At least you think you are.
Yeah, and so Burns is like, oh, what a pleasant surprise. And he's like furiously hitting the release the hounds button. And for some reasons, the dogs don't come. And Burns is like, huh, there should be dogs ripping you to pieces.
Now, do you think the FBI like put some like stakes out or something for him?
Because they probably subdued the hounds somehow.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And Homer's like, I don't know what to tell you. And so Burns like, all right, come on in. He's like, maybe there's something in here I can scold you with.
Yeah.
And so they go into the kitchen and Burns puts a pot on the oven to heat up some water. And Burns like, oh, what brings you to my home? And Homer's like, he explains that Burns comes off as a gruff, crotchety loner. And Homer continues to keep talking and Burns throws the water on Homer. And all it really does is get Homer's wet because it was on the burner for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, he's like, it's not hot yet.
Yeah. Burns is like, fine, I'll get you a towel. And Homer tells the recording device, starting my search for the $1 trillion bill. And so he like searches around Burns' kitchen, opens up some cabinets, pulls out some stuff. And he opens up a closet in the kitchen and it's just full of bran cereal.
Well, Mr. Burns needs to stay regular, I guess. That's what that bran cereal's for. And so Burns catches Homer snooping and asks Homer, what he wants. And he says to Homer, he's like, and I like how he's about to take like a suicide pill. Yeah. And he's like, you're from Collier's Magazine. And then Burns asks Homer, are you going to put me in a Star Snoop? Apparently, he thinks Homer's a reporter.
Yeah.
Even though he literally walked into the house saying, I'm a trusted employee. I know. So clearly, Mr. Burns has forgotten who Homer has been in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so Homer says, sure. And Burns says, well, I'll show you around. And hopes Homer doesn't mind a little walking. And Homer tries to take the suicide pill again. He's done with walking. He's over it.
Yeah.
And so Burns is finishing a story and says, I didn't want a horse in my living room, but you don't say no to Spring Byrington. Which I'm guessing must be a thoroughbred or what's that?
I'm pretty sure that's not a real person.
Spring Byrington. I was like maybe like
Byington.
Byington.
No, oh, actually, you know what? I was wrong. Spring Byington was an American actress. Her career includes a 7-year run on radio and television as the star of December Bride. She was a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer contract player who appeared in films from the 30s to the 60s. She died in 1971.
But what does this have to do with a horse? Was she a horse farmer?
Maybe she had a horse and was going to give it to Burns and left it in his living room?
I don't know. I would assume.
By the way, this is now the second. What is this? This is the second old, like the second actress that they've named in this episode who's old. Now, granted, the first one was still alive, but yeah.
I mean, I thought honestly when I heard Spring Byrington, I thought maybe Triple Crown winner or Kentucky Derby or like that's where they were getting the horse from.
No,
like, it just kind of sounded like that, but I guess not.
Nope, Spring Byington is not a horse.
All right. So Burns points out that he has a suit that Charlie Chaplin was buried in. And
That's actually a reference to the fact that Charlie Chaplin's body was stolen from a cemetery in Switzerland.
Oh, we know who stole it then.
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns did. And Burns takes Homer into the Hall of Patriots. And the first figure is Burns. That Burns shows is his great grandfather, Franklin Jefferson Burns. And his great grandfather took part in the Boston Tea Party, apparently, without a care to what the caffeine would do to the Fenway flounder. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Homer asks if that's a fish. And Burns said, yes. Yes, it was.
It was a fish.
Until it died, I guess.
Because of all the caffeine.
Yep. And then there's a monument to Burns draped in an American flag for standing up against American reckless spendthrift politicians. So Truman for trying to give the French a $1 trillion bill. Or Europe, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And Burns says that it commemorates his liberation of $1 trillion that would have been foolishly squandered. And the agents have heard enough. They now know that Burns has the $1 trillion bill. I mean, they always knew, but they had to get proof.
Yes.
And Homer asked if the statue was holding the $1 trillion bill, and Burns like, yeah, that would be careless of me, wouldn't it? And so Burns pulls out the real one from his pocket. I like that he keeps it on his person. At apparently all times. I mean, a safe probably would have been safe, but right on Burns's pockets is the best place for it. Yep. And Homer's like, wow, that must be worth a fortune. Yes, it is, Homer. It is worth a fortune.
$1 trillion, to be exact.
Yeah. But the agents bust in and arrest Burns for grand larceny. And Burns says, I'm not a thief, the government is. And he points out the government makes people like Homer pay income tax every year. And for what? Aid ungrateful foreigners? Do nothing nuclear missiles? Tomb polish for some unknown soldier?
Oh, Jesus.
Ooh. Oh, Burnsy. And Homer says, Burns is right. And Burns called them crooks. And the agents tell Burns to put a sock in it. And Burns says, well, you can silence me, but you can't silence Collier's magazine. Which he was talking to Homer.
Correct.
And Burns tells Homer to tell the people and not to let the government push you around. And Burns tells Homer to fight back. And Homer says he's going to write the best darn article. Then he realizes he does not work for the magazine. You know, he's been doing a lot of that lately. Like when in Dumbbell Indemnity, when he's like stealing the car.
Oh, yeah.
Like Snake stole the, stealing the car, and he gets in the car and steals. Like, wait a minute, I didn't have to steal the car. Someone else was going to do that. And Homer uses the rug in the hallway to cause the agents to hit their heads on the wall. So he kind of like grabbed the bottom of the rug and like flung it to make like the wave.
Go in the
rug.
Yeah.
He goes and rescues Burns, but Homer picks up Burns and the $1 trillion bill and walks away. And then Homer walks back and decides to put the hand of one agent on the butt of the other agent.
Oh my god,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So Homer takes. They go out to Burns's garage, and Homer takes one of Burns's cars to make their escape. And Burns is like, "Go faster, because those jackbooted G-men won't be far behind." Oh, Burns and his old-timey sayings. Yes. And Homer says they can hide out at his house because he has beer. And Burns is like, no, we need help. And Burns is like, there's only one man that can get us out of a jam like this. And so we cut back to Smithers' apartment, and he's ironing some socks. And on the wall are some Stacy Malibu dolls.
Malibu Stacy?
That's what I said.
No, you said Stacy Malibu.
Yeah, Malibu Stacy. That's exactly what I said. Uh-huh. So Malibu Stacy's are on the wall because we know Smithers loves them. And yep. He's kind of singing along too. And his doorbell rings. And Smithers is like, oh, okay. And he opens the door and he's like, oh, sir, what are you doing here? And Burns just grabs Smithers. Maybe it was Homer.
Do you think they showed Smither ironing things because of the comment Lenny and Carl made earlier in the episode?
I think that's a callback to that joke.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a callback to that joke. So now we see Smithers is driving Homer and Burns in Burns' jalopy. It's not a jalopy. We'll find out in a second here what kind of car it actually is. And Burns explains to Smithers that their own government is hunting them down like a couple of common snow leopards. Smithers is like, it's an outrage.
Yeah.
So now we see a Duff billboard, and behind the Duff billboard is Chief Wiggum in his police car. And we hear Agent Johnson over the radio, and he is like, look out for a 1936 maroon Stutz Bearcat. And so Smithers, Burns, and Homer drive by Wiggum. And Wiggum's like, that car was more of a burgundy.
Burgundy and maroon are slightly different.
Oh, man. So Homer says they are never going to make it. Let's just divide up the trillions and go their separate ways. You have one bill.
I know.
There's no way you can divide that bill without getting caught.
You know, it's funny. Like, clearly, the joke is having a big-ass bill. But yes. In reality, wouldn't you have just, if you wanted to give someone $1 trillion, you'd probably do it all in hundreds or something. Like,
well, if you're going to give somebody $1 trillion this day and age, it'd probably be a wireless transfer. Yeah. It would be digital.
Yeah.
And so Smithers says they have to get out of the country. And Burns is like, capital idea. We need to blow this fascist popsicle stand. Okay. Burns suggests buying their own small island and starting their own country free from the relentless tyranny of Uncle Sam. And Homer's like, I can't leave the country. What about Marge and the kids? And Smithers is like, they can be shipped. So now Agent Johnson is at the Simpsons house. And he's like, okay, kids, I want some answers. Where do you think your father would go with $1 trillion? Bart's like, my dad has $1 trillion? Wow. I can buy and sell your sorry ass. I'll give you $1 billion to empty the cat box for me. And Mark's like, no, Bart. That money is going towards your college education. And he's like, who needs college, Mom? We're trillionaires. Let's buy dune buggies. So even Lisa's letting the money go to her head.
Yeah. They're like, nah, school's stupid. We don't need school. We got money.
So, now, we are at the Springfield Airfield, the birthplace of Windshear.
Now, in the Joy of Sect, when they go to the airport, there was a sign about, like, not having so many crashes, right?
Like that I believe was like, so.
Right? So, yeah. Apparently they just changed their sign all willy-nilly.
Maybe, or it's a different sign. all together. Smithers. So Smithers, like, it's like one of those old, like, I love how, like, they show a jet and then they pan over and they're in, like, an old timey plane where you have to, like, spin the propeller to get it to go. And Smithers, you know, starts the plane. And Burns yells to Homer to release the chucks. And I think a chuck is like a block that blocks the wheels from moving.
That's correct. Yep.
And so, but Homer is nowhere near the plane.
Yep.
He is at a Buzz Cola vending machine trying to use the trillion dollar bill to buy some soda.
Yep.
And Homer is able to put the money in. Smithers and Burns gasp. And then the machine spits the money back out. And they're like, oh, thank God. And Burns is like, Homer, there's soda on the plane.
Did he try? Maybe I was imagining him. Did he try to like make it like flat? Like,
did he did try that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's because it's wrinkly. I think it's because the machine has no clue what a trillion-dollar bill is. All right, so the agents decide to fly next to Homer because they got to try to get him.
Yeah.
They got to get these bastards. And Burns and Smithers tell them they are leaving U.S. jurisdiction and to turn back immediately or else they won't be able to prosecute him.
You read that a little weird. For our listeners, the agents are flying next to Homer, Burns, and Smithers, and the agents tell them they are leaving U.S. jurisdiction.
Yes. So, okay. So, I have to mention this now. So, obviously, they're flying to a certain country.
Correct.
Get to that country. So, are they in Florida now? Are they off the, or southern tip area? Where are they?
Yeah, they're somewhere, well... They're past Florida.
Yeah. So they've been on the ocean a few times these past few episodes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so Simpsons tied there on the coast. I mean, we couldn't tell. Well, what is that? We never asked Brian Barrick, but isn't there a Navy place, like a real Annapolis?
Yeah. That's a Maryland.
Huge, yeah, that's a huge Navy base.
Yeah.
Maybe they were based on, maybe. So. Maybe they're out. Maybe they're on the East Coast now. Springfield for this season of The Simpsons with the island that they go to for the kids and all. Maybe The Simpsons are just on the East Coast.
Maybe
this whole season.
But here, so I know. So like a lot of TV shows. Now, obviously, they're flying in a plane, and this is a little bit different. But like especially like with and we didn't really bring it up with Simpson tied, but when you're in international waters, the laws you obey is the flag that you fly.
Oh.
So, like, as we're about to see with what Homer is doing, now, mind you, it's not illegal to do what Homer is about to do in the United States, but when you're in international waters, you have to abide by the rules and the laws of the flag on your ship.
Well, so we definitely don't get that when, can't remember the name of the episode, but remember when Homer house-sits for Burns and they take the boat in international waters?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
But, okay, but it is true that the U.S. government can't, like, go come after you if they're in international waters. Like, you may have to abide by the laws.
No, but they're still allowed to. Like, if you're in international waters and you're flying the American flag, the U.S. Coast Guard can and will arrest you.
Oh. Well, that episode definitely got it wrong, didn't it?
Yes.
Boy, well, maybe we'll get someone from the Coast Guard for that episode.
Yes.
And so Homer says they should listen to them, but Smithers says, wait, we're over international waters. And Homer cheers and says, they can gamble. And then Homer's playing some craps in the back of the plane.
You can gamble in the United States.
I know. I don't know what Homer was thinking.
I don't know.
And then one agent says, nuts. And the other one says, we'll be back.
No, they'll be back.
What's that?
They'll be back.
They'll be back. They'll miss American TV. I mean...
Homer will. I don't know about Smithers or Burns.
Yeah. So Burns says any of the islands would make a fine new country. And then Homer's like, I call dibs on president. And Burns is like, vice president. And Smithers is sad because he clearly didn't realize we were playing
dibs.
The dibs game.
Yep.
And so Byrne points out a big one that has freedom written all over it. And Smithers like, that's Cuba. And Burns tells Smithers to take the plane down. And Smithers like, you're flying the plane. Excellent. Sorry, I'll do it right. Excellent.
There you go.
And so Burns crashes the plane on the runway and apologizes for the landing because the fog was so thick, he couldn't see his past his own cataracts. And if you guys don't know, cataracts cause a fogginess in your vision. Yes,
correct.
So so the trio go through customs and have to fill out the purpose of their visit form. And there's
what are their...
Yeah, so the purpose of their visit form has a few options. You got business slash pleasure, which is pretty common on all your customs forms.
Yep.
You got smuggle cigars.
Cubans, I've had a Cuban cigar. Pretty good. Pretty good.
And the last one is assassinate Castro.
I'm pretty sure you get arrested if you checkmark that one, which I believe Homer does. I think he checkmarks all three of them.
He does. Yes, he does. And so Homer is on the phone with Mars and says, she'll love Cuba because there's shredded pork everywhere. And a child offered Homer some meat and corrects him in Spanish, saying that he just ate donkey meat. So clearly Homer has no clue what pork tastes like. Or correct. Donkey meat tastes like pig. I don't know. I've never eaten donkey before.
No.
Nor will I. Yeah. And so a guy, guys get into a taxi and they pass an El Dufo muerte sign with Che Guevara on it. And so this sign, basically it stands for the Duff or Death.
Duff or Die.
Well, muerte can be both. Die or death. And the sign in Cuba features a picture of the communist revolutionary Che Guevara. He was referenced in the Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2.
Yes.
That Tito Puente played in a club called Che Guevara.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Another tie back to him.
Yeah.
And so I love it. They pass a boxing match on the beach. Which boxing is huge in Cuba.
Yes.
And Burns is informed that the Batista is gone and asks Homer if he knew that. And Homer's like, I had no idea. And so Burns tells the driver to take them to whoever's in charge. And so we see Fidel Castro is meeting with his cabinet and says that they are completely bankrupt and must abandon communism. That's good. And everyone is sad. And Castro knows that they all knew from day one that this mumbo jumbo wouldn't fly. Oh my god, that's great.
Oh man.
Now is that? Oh, I mean, I don't know if that's a reference like Russia and the Soviet Union.
Well, Cuba was a communist country, still is.
Yeah.
The whole point is communism is basically so like socialism and communism are very similar. Where socialism, everybody like shares kind of on like the same level, where communism is like you're forced to share on the same level.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the dumbed down version of it.
Yep. So Castro is about to call Washington and tell them that they've won. And an advisor tells them that the Americans tried to have him assassinated. I mean, it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
And Castro says America isn't so bad. They even named a street after me in San Francisco. And he reacts in shock and horror when he learns just who dwells on that street.
Yeah, and so an advisor comes in, whispers in his ears, and he's like, what?
Yeah, and it's a reference to Castro Street in San Francisco, a street that is a gay community.
It's in a gay community.
Yeah.
San Francisco, as we all know, is... I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of straight people in San Francisco, but San Francisco kind of took on the mantle of for the LGBTQ plus community. And the street is actually named after Joaquin Isidro de Castro, one of the founders of San Francisco.
Well, I might have to go find that street.
Yes. Let's
see where it is.
In San Francisco.
Yep, in San Francisco, yeah. So a man runs in to tell Castro that Burns, Homer, and Smithers are there to see him, and they have a $1 trillion bill.
Yeah. So, so they're all sitting down for the meeting, and Burns has learned Cuba is not for sale, so he tried to buy it. Yeah. I'm a little surprised Castro went to take the money and run. And Burns asks Castro to let them live in his socialist paradise, because communism and socialism are very similar.
Yeah.
And Castro asks if Burns is talking about Cuba, and Burns is like, yes. And we'd like preferential treatment because of Burns's fabulous wealth, and shows Castro the $1 trillion bill. And Castro's like, can I see it? And he goes to grab for it. Burns like takes it back and he's like, see with your eyes, not with your hands. Which is like something you say to like a toddler.
Yep.
And so Castro says, we're all friends here. And Homer's like, I trust the president of Cuba. Because Homer's an idiot. And Burns, being an idiot, listens to Homer and hands the bill over. And he's like, all right, give it back. And Castro's like, give what back?
Yeah.
And Burns has been duped. I mean, you can't trust a dictator.
No, but the funny thing is, I was reading some, like, every once in a while I'll read reviews on certain episodes for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And this one was not received very well because it kind of painted Burns in a way that there's no way that Burns would hand over that bill. Like, way in hell. There's no way. Yeah. Even if Homer was like, you could trust the president of Cuba. No. There's no way Burns would have let that out of his sight.
By the way, I'd like to point out, Smithers is dressed almost exactly like Homer.
He is. That's really fucked up. He didn't have time to pack.
Yeah.
Because remember, they grabbed him and dragged him right out of the house? So he's wearing Homer's clothes.
Yeah. But I don't think Homer would have had time to pack either. He couldn't have gone home.
I guess. I don't know.
So, Castro sends Smithers, Burns, and Homer out into the water on a raft.
And Homer's like, at least he didn't put him in prison.
Yeah. I'm surprised he just didn't let him live there.
I know.
And Homer's like, I can't believe there is a place worse than America, but we found it. God, dude, like, the fact that this line actually ages well scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Burns says he has a renewed appreciation of America. He's like, oppression and harassment are a small price to pay to live in the land of the free. But if you're getting oppressed and harassed, then you're not in the land of the free.
Yeah.
And so Smithers reminds Burns that he is facing serious jail time. Burns is like, well, if it's a crime to love one's country, then I'm guilty. And if it's a crime to steal $1 trillion from our government and hand it over to communist Cuba, then I'm guilty of that too. And if it's a crime to bribe a jury, then so help me, I'll soon be guilty of that. And Homer stands and he salutes. He's like, God bless America. Oh my God. This episode, I don't know. There's not a lot of substance. It's not bad. There's a couple of funny lines. I don't know. Like, it's not good. Or it's not great. But it's not good either. It's kind of just there. like the tax stuff is kind of funny. Like, it doesn't, the episode doesn't move slowly or anything. I haven't done this in a while. I'm giving it a 2. Eat my shorts. It's just not memorable.
Yeah.
No,
it really isn't. I mean, when I was watching it, I'm like, I know what this is about, but I don't know, aside from the tax stuff, because I see the whole, like, oh, it's January 1st, you better get your taxes ready. Like, that's the only thing. And I didn't even realize it was this episode. Like, if I would, like, when I saw the meme for that tax thing, I didn't equate it to this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, this is the trillion episode. Like, usually when there's a quote, you know what episode it's from. Like, you can pinpoint, oh, it's from this episode.
And Burns, like, trusting Homer, like,
no,
that's out of pocket for him. And this, it's just,
Continue. I'm definitely with you. I think I'm going to go 2. Don't have a cow, man.
Eat my shorts. 3 is don't shorts. Have a cow.
Yeah, I do this every week. maybe I just need to write it down.
Yeah, you said that the last time you screwed it up.
I know. Don't have a cow, man.
That's 3.
Yeah, eat my shorts.
That's 2.
Okay, cool. We'll go eat my shorts as well. I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's not a, I can't give it a dough. Like, I just can't. No. Because the tax stuff is funny. Like, that keeps it high for me. The actual Mr. Burns speech at the end is pretty funny as well.
That's like, great. I love the speech at the end.
I mean, that's
honestly, if it wasn't for that speech at the end, it would have been a 1.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has some funny bits. I do like the tax stuff. It does remind me yearly to do my taxes, and not be a homer and wait until the very end.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I probably got to go do my taxes.
Correct.
Maybe I'll do that tomorrow or the next day. We'll see. We'll see where I wind up. But I definitely got to get them done before I go to San Francisco. That's my goal. Get them done before spring break. So we'll leave it at that. So let's finish it off like we always do with our character profile. And this week we have Charlie. Look at that. I mean, that was a good way to do Charlie. Dude, I got to go back to my number 2 rating. Like, even the bar stuff was boring. The wishes?
Yeah.
The good God. I'm sorry. Okay, let's get on to Charlie. We're past it. Okay.
Yes.
Trained as a dangerous emissions supervisor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Replaced by Mindy Simmons. I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. This is the first character profile I think we're actually learning something.
Yes, it is.
Because I don't know anything about Charlie.
Nope.
Example of bad luck number 1. Mr. Burns once sent him through a tube to a foreign land where he was forced to dance for cackling men in fezes and turbans.
Yep.
And what was that? Was that the Princess Kashmir episode, or what was that episode?
I think that was the Princess Kashmir episode.
Okay. Example of bad luck number 2. He was arrested for threatening to beat up local officials over the slow progress of HDTV. I love it. That's fantastic. And lastly, example of bad judgment, once used his sister's wooden leg as a softball bat. And that's in Homer at the Bat.
Yes.
So that was fun. If you guys enjoyed it, let us know on all of our social media posts, which you can find us at The Simpsons In It Pod on Instagram and Threads. You can also find us on YouTube. Find all of our backlog videos, Simpsons In a Podcast. You can listen to our podcast on all podcasting platforms. If you listen on Apple or Spotify, make sure to follow. I mean, you can follow on all of them, but on Spotify, because that's how we track our stuff, and Apple would be absolutely fantastic. Leave us a rate and review. Comment on the podcast. Let us know what you're thinking. You can also give us feedback by calling us at 612-584-0986. Listen to Jaden LeBron's voicemail message and leave us a voicemail. So until next time, I'm Steven Sklansky.
And I'm Robert Sklansky.
And this has been The Simpsons Did It.